John chapter 19, verse 1. Pilate then took Joshua and had him whipped. And the soldiers twisted together a crown of thorns and put it on his head and put a purple robe on him. And they began to come up to him and say, "Hail, King of the Jews!" and to give him hard slaps in the face. Pilate came out again and said to them, "Behold, I am bringing him out to you so that you may know that I find no guilt in him." Joshua then came out wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe. Pilate said to them, "Behold the man." So when the chief religious leaders and politicians saw him, they cried out, saying, "Crucify, crucify." Pilate said to them, "Take him yourselves and crucify him, for I find no guilt in him." The religious leaders answered him, "We have a law, and by that law he ought to die, because he made himself out to be the Son of God." Unquote. Commentary note 72. Even the religious leaders, after hearing all the claims of the people over many months, did not accuse him of blasphemy, saying he claimed to be God. A plain confession accusation of his enemies in a legal setting, having carefully calculated their words, saying he claimed he was the, quote, Son of God, unquote, is a very strong confirmation that Joshua did not claim to be God, yet another refutation of the Trinity doctrine. Back to the text, verse 8. Therefore, when Pilate heard this statement, he was even more afraid, and he entered into the praetorium again and said to Joshua, "Where are you from?" But Joshua gave him no answer. So Pilate said to him, "Do you not speak to me? Do you not know that I have authority to release you and I have authority to crucify you?" Joshua answered, "You would have no authority over me unless it had been given you from above. And for this reason, he who delivered me to you, Judas Iscariot, has the greater sin." As a result of this, Pilate made an effort to release him. But the Jews cried out, saying, "If you release this man, you are no friend of Caesar. Everyone who makes himself out to be a king opposes Caesar." Therefore, when Pilate heard these words, he brought Joshua out and sat down on the judgment seat at a place called the Pavement, but in Hebrew, Gabbatha. Now it was the day of preparation for the Passover. It was about 6 o'clock in the morning. And he said to the Jews, "Behold your king." So they cried out, "Away with him, away with him, crucify him." Pilate said to them, "Shall I crucify your king?" The chief religious leaders answered, "We have no king but Caesar." So he then handed him over, then to be crucified. They took Joshua, therefore, and he went out bearing his own cross to the place called a skull, which is in Hebrew called Golgotha. There they crucified him, and with him two other men, one on either side and Joshua in between. Pilate also wrote an inscription and put it on the cross. It was written, quote, "Joshua the Nazarene, the King of the Jews," unquote. Therefore, many of the Jews read this inscription, for the place where Joshua was crucified was near the city, and it was written in Hebrew, Latin, and in Greek. So the religious leaders were saying to Pilate, "Do not write the King of the Jews, but that he said, 'I am the King of the Jews.'" Unquote. Pilate answered, "What I have written, I have written." Then the soldiers, when they had crucified Joshua, took his outer garments and made four parts, a part to every soldier, and also the tunic. Now the tunic was seamless, woven in one piece. So they said to one another, "Let us not tear it, but cast lots for it to decide whose it shall be." This was to fulfill the scripture, quote, "They divided my outer garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots," unquote. Therefore the soldiers did these things, but standing by the cross of Joshua were his mother and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Joshua saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to his mother, "Woman, behold your son." Then he said to the disciple, "Behold your mother." From that hour, the disciple took her into his own household. After this, Joshua, knowing that all things had already been accomplished to fulfill the scripture, said, "I am thirsty." A jar full of sour wine was standing there, so they put a sponge full of sour wine upon a branch of hyssop and brought it to his mouth. Therefore, when Joshua had received the sour wine, he said, "It is finished." And he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. Then the Jews, because it was the day of preparation, so that the bodies would not remain on the cross on the Sabbath, for that Sabbath was a high day, asked Pilate that their legs might be broken and that they might be taken away. So the soldiers came and broke the legs of the first man and of the other who was crucified with Joshua. But coming to Joshua, they saw that he was already dead. They did not break his legs. But one of the soldiers pierced his side with a spear, and immediately blood and water came out. And he who has seen has testified, and his testimony is true. And he knows that he is telling the truth, so that you may also believe. For these things came to pass to fulfill the scripture, quote, "Not a bone of him shall be broken," unquote. And again the scriptures say, quote, "They shall look on him whom they pierced," unquote. After these things, Joseph of Arimathea, being a disciple of Joshua, but a secret one for fear of the Jews, asked Pilate that he might take away the body of Joshua, and Pilate granted permission. So he came and took the body away. Nicodemus, who had first come to him by night, also came, bringing a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 100 pounds weight. So they took the body of Joshua and bound it in linen wrappings with the spices, as is the burial custom of the Jews. Now in the place where he was crucified, there was a garden, and in the garden a new tomb in which no one had been laid. Therefore, because of the Jewish day of preparation, since the tomb was nearby, they laid Joshua there. End of chapter 19, beginning of chapter 20, verse 1. Now on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene came early to the tomb while it was still dark, and saw the stone had already been taken away from the tomb. So she ran and came to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Joshua loved, and said to them, "They have taken away the body of the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid it." So Peter and the other disciple went forth, and they were going to the tomb. The two were running together, and the other disciple ran ahead faster than Peter and came to the tomb first. And stooping and looking in, he saw the linen wrappings lying there, but he did not go in. And so Simon Peter also came, following him, and entered the tomb, and he saw the linen wrappings lying there, and the face cloth which had been on his head, not lying with the linen wrappings, but rolled up in a place by itself. So the other disciple who had first come to the tomb then also enters, and he saw and believed. For as yet they did not understand the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. So the disciples went away to their own homes. But Mary was standing outside the tomb weeping. And so as she wept, she stooped and looked into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white sitting, one on the head and one at the feet, where the body of Joshua had been lying. And they said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" And she said to them, "Because they have taken away my Lord's body, and I do not know where they have laid it." When she had said this, she turned around and saw Joshua standing there in a shadow and did not know it was him. Joshua said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Joshua said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Hebrew, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Joshua said to her, "Stop clinging to me, for I have yet not ascended, gone to the Father. But go to my brethren and say to them, I ascend to my Father and your Father, and my God and your God." Unquote. Commentary note 73. Quote, "my God," unquote, is another very plain confession directly from the mouth of Joshua that he has a Father who is God, contradicting the Trinity belief. Again, the Trinity belief gives the religious leaders power over the people by virtue of their saying, "You must accept a contradiction," and thus check your own mind in at the door, so to speak, and instead accept them and their teachings to understand God and to go to heaven. Return to text, verse 18. Mary Magdalene came, announcing to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord," and that he had said these things to her. So when it was evening on the day, the first day of the week, and when the doors were shut where the disciples were for fear of the religious leaders, Joshua came and stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." And when he had said this, he showed them both his hands and his side. The disciples then rejoiced when they had saw the Lord. So Joshua said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, their sins have been forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, then they have been retained." Unquote. Commentary note 74. In this disciple's opinion, verses 22 and 23 were very likely added and did not happen. The main reason I believe that in regard to verse 22 is this saying in John 16:7, quote, "But I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I do go, I will send him to you." Unquote. In regard to verse 23, it is inconsistent with this teaching on the matter. Quote, "For if you forgive others for their transgressions, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others, then your Father will not forgive your transgressions," unquote. That's Matthew 6:14 and 15. Which teachings is repeated several times in both Matthew 18 and Mark 11, as well as a similar and consistent saying in Luke 17. Furthermore, the Christian clergy leadership used this supposed saying to wield much power over people, as they claimed they had the power to forgive the sins of others who did not sin against them. Only God and the individual we sinned against can forgive us our sins. And if the individual we sinned against will not accept our plea for forgiveness, our Heavenly Father will. Return to text, verse 24. "But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Joshua came. So the other disciples were saying to him, 'We have seen the Lord.' But he said to them, 'Unless I see in his hands the imprint or mark of the nails, and I put my finger into the place of the nails, and I put my hand into his side where the spear pierced, I will not believe.' After 8 days, his disciples were again inside, and Thomas with them. Joshua came, the doors having been shut, and stood among them, and said, 'Peace be with you.' Then he said to Thomas, 'Reach here with your finger, and see my hands. And reach here your hand and put it into my side, and do not be unbelieving, but believing.' Thomas answered and said to him, 'My Lord and my God.'" Commentary note 75. One of the few verses that those who believe the Trinity doctrine cite to support their belief. Of first importance is that Joshua does not say here, "I am my Father," or "God," or anything close to that. A plausible reenactment of that moment and saying could have Thomas on his knees and looking at Joshua when he says, "My Lord," and bowing his head toward the saying and saying, "My God," referring to God and not Jesus or Joshua. What is for certain is that the 2 or 3 verses do not win over the hundreds of verses and sayings of Joshua that plainly support the fact that Joshua and his Father are two separate beings. End of commentary note. Continuing with text, verse 29. Joshua said to him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are they who did not see and yet believed." Therefore, many other signs Joshua also performed in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book, but these have been written so that you may believe that Joshua is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. End of chapter.